Welcome to Security Wire Weekly, a CertSecurity.com podcast for January 28th, 2011. In this edition, we talk to Eddie Schwartz of NetWitness about network behavioral analysis. The company is coming out with a new malware analysis feature called Spectrum.
Nobody's ever going to stop all inbound attacks. Nobody's ever going to give you all visibility into inbound. But the real issue is, can you get closer to a better set of analytics that combine the various dynamics that are out there?
Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Westervelt. Eddie Schwartz of NetWitness joins us in this first edition of Security Wire Weekly for 2011. Schwartz serves as Chief Security Officer of the company. We last spoke to him about network behavioral analysis about 6 months ago. The following conversation was recorded January 21st. Let's talk about the threat landscape. When I talked to you in June, that was before the news began to publicly break about Stuxnet. And I'm wondering if you can speak from a forensics perspective, you know, whether there were any, what kind of lessons were learned from Stuxnet? And this has been talked a lot about, but what is the NetWitness perspective on Stuxnet?
Sure. I think part of the issue with Stuxnet goes to this, you know, this continuous statement that, you know, this continuous issue that no matter what you think you know about what's going on, you know, what's going on out there, adversaries are going to create something new. You know, so this you know, there's this whole issue out there of prevention strategies versus detection strategies, right? You know, people, you know, whether it's the old school, you know, firewalls and IPS and so on, or you know, you mentioned like Arbor and you know all of that. Or the new stuff, right? The next generation firewalls, or the next generation malware protection, and you know all of these things are designed to stop, you know, these APTs and bad things. You know, even things like Stuxnet, supposedly, right? Mm-hmm. But I still contend that no matter how much you try relative to prevention, you're still going to need a detection solution that allows you to have some visibility into these. Morphing threats, these changing threats that have various characteristics to them, you know, that if you put together all of these characteristics, you may have visibility into them. So I don't recall if when we talked the last time, you know, I mentioned to you, regarding Aurora, you know, or, you know, other threats like that, but, you know, our customers, you know, many of them had seen, you know, the Aurora type of attack that had been taking action on them before these things occurred because they were getting indicators and warnings of these things, not knowing that, you know, somebody would name it Aurora or something like that. And similarly with Stuxnet, if you look at these types of, you know, targeted attacks or malware that has, you know, second and third stage, you know, 0 days associated with it, what you'll see is that when you combine a lot of different vectors, you've got to have various different types of analytics to detect them. And that's our perspective on it is, you know, don't just take a single viewpoint of detection like, okay, you know, for example, I'm going to throw everything in a sandbox, see how something behaves in a sandbox, write a signature for it, and then hope everything's okay. Because that just isn't enough, you know, for things, you know, like Stuxnet where, you know, there were supposedly, you know, in you know, some of the reporting, they said, you know, 4 0 days, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, what you've got to be able to do is say, okay, what does, you know, what does a sandbox know about it? But then what does the global security community know about it? What do reputation services know about it? What do threat intelligence services know about it? Then what does my organization know about it based on our collective knowledge of the behavior of what we know is good? For example, if you combine concepts like taking information combined with protocol information and the type of file that's moving across the network, would all of those, plus a piece of sandbox information, lead you to believe that something isn't in line with what you would consider to be good traffic? Mm-hmm. For example, a zip file that crosses the wire that may seem harmless to a sandbox, but moves over at port 80, it's not HTTP, from a TLD, top-level domain in China, most people would say, that looks suspicious to me, mm-hmm. And then take that file, break it down, and look at, whether there are obfuscation techniques used in the packing of the internal executables in it and things like that. So I guess all I'm trying to say to you, I know it's kind of nerdy and geeky what I just said, but the point is that when you add all of these different analytical techniques and questions up, you get a better way of detecting things that's different than the attempts to prevent it. So that's what we look at. We're no longer sort of just calling it forensics anymore, because I think that word has a connotation in the industry. But we really are looking at it, as this notion of when you're monitoring your network, there's a lot of different things you need to do. Yes, you need to do the forensics, as you said. You need to ask a lot of questions. Those questions go to third parties that are out in the security universe, right? The threat intelligence people, the reputation people, the cloud, as everybody says, right? Everybody else that you need to test it and see what it does. You need to look at the organizational dynamics. If you're an energy company, how does our network behave? And what's the known good, and how does this deviate from the known good? And then all of those vectors together ultimately give you good detection or inadequate detection.
Interesting, because I always considered, when I think of NetWitness, I think of tools that can be used for incident response, yet I think that's not really correct, right? I mean, it's more proactive now rather than just incident response.
Exactly right. I mean, that's the direction we've been moving over the last year and a half, is how do we get you away from simply sort of post-mortem and post-facto investigations, which, correctly, as you said, historically has been sort of the world of quote, network forensics tools, to where we are leading you down the path of, proactive threat management. Again, we'll never... And I don't think anybody ever will, if people are honest in this industry about it. Nobody's ever going to stop all inbound attacks. Nobody's ever going to give you all visibility into inbound. But the real issue is, can you get a better grip on, as things are crossing the wire, can you get closer to a better set of analytics that combine the various dynamics that are out there? Again, the dynamics that are unique to your IT environment, right? Unique to the technologies you use, unique to the way your users behave, to the way that data is organized on your network and moves across your network, unique to the dynamics of the threat environment, right? The way malware writers constantly are, changing things and evolving things and so on. And then to take advantage of also the dynamics of the goodness that we have out here in the security community. We've got a lot of good companies out there, creating great services associated with threat intel, fraud intel, reputation services, and we've got a lot of free stuff out there that's good too. The Shadow Server, I mean, it's great, great thing that's out there. I mean, obviously not, not the only thing it would do, right? But the point is that there's lots of good stuff out there, pay-per-view, free. There's closed communities within government and communities of interest like energy and financial services. When you bring all of these data together, you have a very, very powerful opportunity to recognize things that are going on and then learn from that, cast that information to prevention solutions that then can make it so that, now we saw that, we understand that, we don't need to see that again,
You know, we're hearing predictions that there will be more targeted malware. And I'm wondering if you're seeing, from an industry perspective, from some of these from some of these private companies that own critical infrastructure facilities, if there's a greater movement towards getting these kinds of tools in place if they don't already have them in place.
There totally is. I mean, and again, you know, well, nobody's actually come to me precisely and said, you know, for example, all of us in the utility community now want you to want to buy you because of what you just said, you know. Having said that, you know, participation that we have in communities of interest like EnergySec and, you know, client relationships that we've developed over the past year and a half and customers that we've acquired in certain areas have been a direct result of a greater awareness, let's put it that way, of, you know, again, this exactly what you said, you know, number one, understanding that security today, a lot of the legacy, you know, the legacy security products are not giving them what they need in terms of the answers to these tough questions, these targeted attacks, targeted malware, targeted threats, APTs, you know, whatever it is that you want to focus on in this space are continuing to evolve. And, that, you know, frankly, these organizations need more agility. You know, they need to be able to turn on a dime. They need to ramp up their own teams in terms of giving their teams, you know, both automated and interactive tools to be effective. And they need these tools to tell them what's going on a bit more, you know. So, you know, it's not just, again, give me something that I can use, you know, as we talked about earlier, give me something I can use to sift around and find some bad stuff, but also give me the automated analytics that help me prioritize these problems and help me focus on what's the most important stuff to look at right now. And again, that's part of what we're announcing with this Spectrum product. Mm-hmm.
Do you foresee any regulatory movement towards making the private owners of critical infrastructure facilities have network monitoring tools or malware analysis tools in place?
We're looking at it closely. You know, I mean, there's always trends in that direction, you know, and I always tend to look at the government regulatory space first as a sign of where things could go. You know, certainly OMB, you know, for the feds, you know, as recently as late 2008 and into 2009, started pushing them in the direction of, quote, situational awareness, right, and having them focus on having, you know, deep application layer awareness relative to their network security, and then, you know, the whole push around continuous monitoring, you know, it is directly focused on, you know, the functionality of critical security controls. If you look at, you know, NERC-CIP and what they're trying to achieve there, NERC-CIP is kind of where FISMA was a number of years ago, right? Where, you know, it's like, okay, you know, here's 3,000, you know, energy companies, utility companies, let's get them all on the same page relative to a certain control structure. But, you know, it's going to follow a similar trajectory where, you know, certain critical group of companies and also forward-leaning companies are going to move. You know, some of them are going to move on their own, as we, you know, for first-hand knowledge, know they're already doing down the path of you know, total network knowledge and sort of knowing everything that's going on the network and, you know, getting answers to all the questions they want. And then, you know, at some point, I mean, you know, with people like Mark Weatherford over at NERC now, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if at some point, you know, they're going to encourage people, you know, to move the ball forward on, hey, you know, you need to be looking at, these controls on a consistent basis. You need to have a stronger security operations. I mean, Mike Asante was going down that path before he left already. I mean, he had said some things publicly to that effect at, you know, conferences I attended. And then, you know, I know that Weatherford, when he was in California, you know, wanted to have like a California version of Einstein. So, mm-hmm. You know, if he takes that same approach into NERC, you can imagine what might, you know, transpire as well, right?
Right. I do want to ask you about, why don't we go into what exactly it is and is this in addition to what NetWitness already provides in terms of its appliances?
Yeah, so basically with Spectrum, we're building on our existing enterprise solution.
Okay.
So the idea is we're not sort of, you know, releasing an, you know, another point solution or something like that, you know, or imagine, you know, everything we talked about that you mentioned relative to don't you guys do this, don't you guys do that, everything you said was completely accurate. And also the evolution of our product in terms of, you know, starting as a forensic platform and moving into what you described as sort of, you know, more of a proactive stance in, you know, within security operations centers, you know, now take that same position where essentially, you know, we're getting complete visibility on the network by capturing everything. You know, historically our focus has been, okay, let's know everything that's happened on the network and provide answers to the security person. You know, those answers were in the form of, you know, create rules and alerts and create, you know, give them interactive tools like a witness investigator to look through the data. What we're doing now is essentially creating an automated malware analysis platform. So it's another application on top of that existing infrastructure that automates the process. And it's a signature-free malware analysis process. Again, using the same platform to provide that visibility, but it's basically an analyst in the box. I don't know if you know, Sean Carpenter, who works for us. He was the guy who found Titan Rain.
I know Titan Rain. Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, we've got like a bunch of guys like that. I mean, I could list the names of people like Alex Cox and Gary Gollum. I mean, we just got a boatload of guys like that. They're all those types of people. So, you know, depending upon what customer we're in front of when we're trying to explain, you know, Spectrum to people, you know, they go, well, you know, what exactly do you mean by, you know, automated malware analysis and what this does? We always say, well, you know, Sean Carpenter, and they're like, yeah, you know, that's Sean Carpenter in a box. Because basically what we've done is we've taken the best practices and the best ideas of world-class malware analysts, both ours and others in the industry that we've been talking to for the past year and a half, and basically stuck them in the box and created methodologies around it and created automation around it. But that's just one angle on four different angles that are included in the product. There are actually four different vectors of analysis that occur in real time. One, again, is this notion of, what we call file-based analytics, but basically looking at every file that crosses the wire, extracting that file, and then asking a lot of questions about that file to understand, you know, what it is. Is it malware, you know, for a lot of different reasons? You know, for example, obfuscation techniques, packing techniques, other types of anomalies about, you know, the headers in the file, just, you know, different things, again, that nothing earth-shattering that you wouldn't have heard before necessarily from, again, top malware people. But things, again, when you automate them and you have the power of our solution to truly identify every file and pull it out, makes it exciting. The other thing we do, though, in real time, is we also fuse all of that information with a rich collection of intelligence from the global security community. So, you know, we've got a collection of different vendors that we already work with, and others that customers would have the option of, you know, whether it's friends of, you know, their own vendors or other third parties that they want to bring in, you know, that essentially create this, you know, what we call either a community or a cloud that they can, you know, that this malware is queried against for other bad stuff. So, you know, think threat intelligence providers, fraud intelligence providers, file integrity information, reputation services, again, the free types of services that are out there. And again, each of those has a different dynamic. You know, some of them might be have information about the file itself, and some of it might be about the IP address it came from. Some of it might be about the domain name that's associated with the file. But all of those services provide a different potential value to the analysis of the data. Urge mentioned to you the third vector, which is the internal workings of NetWitness, and I can't sort of understate that, which is our ability to just correlate data internally from the full packet capture, which is, again, combining vectors like, okay, take GeoIP information, HTTP header, the fact that it's a PDF file, the fact that there's JavaScript in the file, and the fact that it came from China, and it's over port 443, and those items together basically give you a business rule that says this is suspect.
Right. So
we've got some slides, which I don't know if Kevin has sent to you, but I'll send to you that one of the slides has all of these four items broken out. And then the fourth piece is sandboxing. Other vendors in this space do sandboxing, but they don't tell you what the sandbox does. You know, it's like, here's a sandbox, good luck with it. You know, what we're doing is we're exposing the sandbox, and we're also giving you the ability to do both local and remote sandboxing or choosing your own sandbox vendor. So all of this platform is completely open. It basically gives you a lot of flexibility. You can choose if you want to participate in a cloud, if you don't want to participate in a cloud. You can, each of those four analytic vectors, you can attenuate them to which is most important to you in your environment. For example, in some situations, the threat vectors might be more important than the sandboxing. And we've got rationale that we can walk customers through as to why one might be important than another, or take the aggregate score and run with it. But that's really the bottom line of what we're doing. But at the end of the day, the customer gets a dashboard with a prioritized list of focus on this now. These are your highest threats. Here they are. Here are the files, and here's all of the network context associated with it. All of the reconstructed network sessions, every piece of data associated with it, and no one else in the industry is doing this today.
Do the guys at NSS Labs test your products?
So we're trying. It's funny that you got really great questions. The sales team, we just briefed them on this product literally 2 days ago, and that was one of the questions that came up. We're working now with NSS and one of the other labs to try to figure out where we go with this, because the only other vendor, as you know, there's two other vendors in this space, and it's a weird space right now, and none of them have been tested effectively yet, because it requires a different test harness than, the AV products go through. Because essentially, you have to create a lot of custom malware to do it. So, the testing that we've done internally is, we'll download, a bunch of, let's just say current malware that is still showing up as not being supported or not being detected, by the major vendors,
right.
like sites like VirusTotal and other sites that will give you sort of summary descriptions of this, and then we'll run it through the system to look at detection rates and things like that. We've got other test harnesses internally, that we've been doing to look at accuracy and other factors like that. But I think, for this emerging space, frankly, NSS and others are going to have to look at other ways, to test this problem set, because it's a different issue than the way they're testing things today,
Mm-hmm. Well, that does it for this edition of Security Wire Weekly. Be sure to check out our previous podcast by going to our podcast landing page at searchsecurity.com/podcast. And as always, you can get the latest security news and information at our news page at searchsecurity.com/news. For now, I'm Rob Westervelt. Have a great day.